I like to hear amens from the kids in this church. As we look at the scriptures at Luke 18, I want you to consider that this is God's holy word. It is infallible. It is the rule for which we are to judge every thought and every action. And for reason of God's word being holy, we are to stand and give honor to God and his word as we look at Luke 18. Starting at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, Luke 18, 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray together. We ask our glorious Lord that you would open this your word unto us, that you would help me to preach this word with clarity of speech and of thought, and that you would open our hearts and minds to receive this your holy word as not the words of men, but the words that has come from you, O God, through your holy Son, and that you would help us to receive and believe it, and that you would transform us by the means of this your word. For we ask it in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Maybe some of you have been told you need to learn how to accept no as an answer. I've heard that before. You need to learn how to accept no as an answer. I used to deal with patients who had diabetes and who were at risk for the loss of limbs. And there was a case, this is an example of a case where sometimes you have to accept no for an answer. You pray and you pray and you do your best. You go to the doctor's appointments. You do whatever treatments you can. But sometimes they cannot be kept from losing the foot and they have to have an amputation. So after the foot is taken off, we know that that is a particular answer from God, that the answer was no, and it had to be done. But there are examples in life where we pursue after something, and the answer is no. But we say, you know what? It's no today, but maybe if I persist, maybe the answer later on, God would allow it to be a yes tomorrow. We see examples of this in many areas of life. We see it in sports, people who try out for a team and they can't make the team, but later on they work hard and they then make the team and they become a great success. We see this in business. We see this in all kind of other ventures and academics, people who flunked out of high school. Later on they go to college and they get a degree and they become a professor of something in some sort. Here in today's text is an example of a stubborn persistence when someone says no. Yet we have an example of this widow who goes on and persists and persists and persists until the answer is yes. Before we look at this, I want to give a little bit review of what we've already looked at in Luke's gospel. Jesus Christ has already demonstrated himself with authority to be the Messiah, the eternal Son of God. We saw him teaching and preaching with authority, unlike the scribes and Pharisees. People were gathering to him. We saw Jesus performing many signs and wonders, miracles that testified in fulfillment of Old Testament scripture that he was the Messiah, the long-awaited promised Holy One of God. Thousands were gathering to him in Luke 12, so much so that they were getting on top of one another just to hear Jesus or to seek and pursue after his miraculous works. In Luke 15, we find out that even tax collectors and sinners were gathering unto him. Sinners who normally were not going to synagogue, but they were coming out of the woodwork to see Jesus and to listen to him. But the Pharisees gawked and grumbled about this. They complained, but Jesus Christ pointed out with the use of some parables that he came to seek and to save the lost. And here, in this passage, he's teaching a parable about prayer, a very important parable about persistence in prayer. The main focus of this text is that you are to cry out to God day and night in prayer. You are to cry out day and night to God in prayer. And we'll see this in two main points. You are to imitate the persistent widow. Secondly, you are to pray with a persistent faith in Christ. So let's look at this first main point. Imitate the persistent widow. Verses 1 through 3. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a woman in that city, same city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Now, this might seem a little peculiar to us, because in the United States, if we pursue after a lawyer and we call him up and we pursue a lawyer to help plead our case, and he doesn't want to take the case, how many other lawyers do we have just in this community we could call and pursue? A whole plethora of them. But for some reason in this parable, she would not look after another man. This was the man for her. Maybe he knew this man's skills, and she would not accept another legal representative except for this judge. No one else would do for her. Now, the text does not tell us how many times she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. But the reason she kept coming to him is because he kept refusing. And the answer of why he kept refusing is given twofold. He didn't fear God and he didn't respect men. But let's look a little bit at this issue of not fearing God. He didn't fear God, especially concerning this call of Holy Scripture to pursue after justice for widows. It's in your outline there. Look at Deuteronomy 10, 18 and 19. It says that God executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. Now, that verse gives us three people that God cares for: the widow, the orphan, and also the stranger, the alien. But he gives us only an application for the third, but not for the first two. But if we apply logic to this verse, and we look at what the New Testament has to say about it, because God gives justice to the orphan and to the widow, we likewise, in whatever manner God gives us, we are to likewise do our best in whatever endeavor we have to pursue justice for the widow and orphan as well. But he didn't do that because this was an unjust judge who did not care about God and his word. But it says also that he didn't respect men. He didn't care whether the whole city got angry with him, said ill things about him, gawked at him because he refused to care for the needs of this widow It says here that since verse 2, it does mention here that the judge and the widow both lived in the same city. And it says here that she kept coming to him. Now you can imagine, they live in the same city. Maybe it wasn't that big of a city, but she kept coming to him, very likely in many places throughout the city. If he carried about his business at the city gate, where he presided over cases, she was there. Plead my case. If he was in the marketplace, she was there. Judge, plead my case. We don't know for sure he went to the synagogue. He didn't respect God and his word, but maybe he went to the synagogue to please his wife if he had one. But if he was there, she was there too. Judge, plead my case. She was on him wherever he went, no doubt, asking to plead her case. Now, consider this. This widow, persistent widow, did not accept no for an answer. She kept coming to him and coming to him until he agreed to take her case. I think that's what we should do in prayer, is what we're going to learn shortly. Now, this widow's continual pleading before him did cause the judge to give in to her. Look at verses 4 and 5. For a while, he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Now, for a while, I felt this way, but maybe you've also wondered, well, why in this parable is the one who's being compared to God is an unjust judge? I mean, God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his holiness and justice. How can you compare an unjust judge to God, the infinitely just one? But this is what we would call an argument from the lesser to the greater. Here's an example of how it goes. If you persist when pursuing your endeavor before an unjust judge over and over and over again, and if it pays off, how much more so will, if you persist before a just and infinitely holy and loving God, will it provide and pay off in God answering you? Now, some may have thought that this woman lacked manners. I mean, think about it. It's not nice to bother people at all times. I'm sure that some of you don't like being bothered day and night when you're trying to get away from your work and somebody keeps hounding you and not giving you rest. But that's what she was doing. Now, here's another argument from the lesser to the greater. If you are persistent in asking others for something over and over and over again, you can weary them. You can bother them. You can bother your spouse. You can weary your spouse. You can do it to your kids. You could do it to your parents. You could do it to even a just judge. You can even do it to the most godly pastor. You can bother and weary him. But you can never bother and weary the God Most High, if you are his. If you're his child and you plead before him day and night, over and over again, you cannot plead before God too much. You can't bother him. That's not in his nature. He's always there to hear the cry of his children. Jesus said his disciples ought to pray at all times, day and night, and not lose heart. Don't give up, and don't be too quick to accept no for an answer. If you have a prodigal child, or if you have an unsaved loved one that you've been praying for, don't stop praying for them until either you have given your last breath or they have given their last breath. If you have someone who you love, or maybe it's yourself and you've been diagnosed with something that your doctor says is a terminal illness, don't give up praying just because the doctor says it's a terminal illness. God has the power to heal. Ask God for healing. Now, if you say, we're Reformed people, and since the time of the apostles, God has ceased to no longer do those things, you're not in accordance with the Westminster Confession. If you are a Reformed believer in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, you are not in accordance with the Westminster Confession of Faith, because it says in the chapter on providence, chapter 5, section 3, that God in his ordinary providence maketh use of means, medicine, doctors, therapists, nurses. Yet God is free to work without, above, and against them at his pleasure. That's a definition of a miracle, by the way. You are to pray, not just with persistence, according to this text this morning, but you are to pray with persistent faith in Christ. Look at verses 6 through 8. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will not he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This first rhetorical question is very important. Again, this is a question where Jesus knows the answer and is yes, the affirmative. Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Now, it seems from the beginning of this parable that anybody who cries to God day and night will be answered, just if they're persistent enough. But if we look closely at it, it says that it's his elect who cry to him day and night that he will answer. This privilege belongs to those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, asking for the forgiveness of their sins through his precious blood. Ultimately, the only reason God hears our prayers is because of Jesus Christ serving as our great high priest. He makes our prayers acceptable to the Father. That is the reason why he hears us in the first place and makes them acceptable. So when you pray, pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I sometimes go to these meetings, and sometimes it's with pastors, and some of them say, "We pray in your name." Well, who are they praying to? They end their prayer, "We pray in your name." So if they're praying to the Father, they're praying into the name of the Father, I'm guessing. But it's better to just say, "I pray in the name of Jesus Christ," acknowledging that you are using Jesus Christ. You're considering by faith that Jesus is your great high priest as you approach the Father in prayer. The Father accepts prayers offered through the intercession of Christ. Now, if you're not sure if you're his elect or not, Scripture says that we have to ask God for faith to become his child. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And the reason why we have the privileges of God hearing our prayers and not being bothered by our persistent prayers is because of a glorious doctrine called adoption. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are adopted into God's household as sons and daughters, according to John 1:12-13, which says, "As many as received him," that is Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Again, God hears the prayers of his elect children who call to him day and night, according to verses 7 and 8. He will not delay long over them. He will bring about justice for us quickly. Again, according to verse 8. There's an essential closing question that Jesus asks at the end of this parable. He says this concerning the return of his glorious return. He says, when the Son of Man comes, verse 8, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes back, and he will come back, to judge the living and the dead, will he find faith on the earth? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Some translations say who diligently seek him. Brothers and sisters, seek him day and night. Seek salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, for he's the only one through whom you may find salvation. But pray to God for your needs day and night. Don't accept no as an answer. Continue to persist and do not lose heart. Now, when the Son of Man returns and he comes back, will he find faith in your life? Or when you die and go to see him, will he find faith in your life? The most important faith that he must find in your life is that you believe and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, not in yourself. Because if you trust in yourself, or if you're trusting in good works will never save you. You can never be good enough. You can never obey enough, but Jesus Christ has died for your failures, and Jesus Christ has also perfectly obeyed the law of God, that if you put your trust in him, you're not only forgiven of your sins, but you're considered and accounted righteous in his sight, because the righteousness of his Son has been imputed, accounted, and considered as your own. But the faith here that he's talking about in this passage is regarding your prayer. Will God find faith in your life? Will he see that you were the person who just, oh, well, I prayed about it once, so it's okay? Or were you persistent, diligent in prayer, like this widow? God wants you to have a persistent, diligent faith that prays day and night and does not give up. Brothers and sisters, he will come quickly and give justice if you continue to pray with persistent faith, and he will bring justice to you, and he does not want you to lose heart. Like Jacob, wrestle with God until he gives you the blessing. Again, you are to cry out to God day and night. You are to imitate this persistent widow. You can't bother God too much. You can bother people, but you cannot bother God too much if you are his child. So again, when you pray, though, pray with faith, trusting that Jesus Christ is your intermediary who makes your prayers acceptable to God, and pray knowing that you are his through faith as his elect, and that God will hear you when you pray in faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. We thank you, our glorious Lord, for the gift that you've given us in prayer. Help us to not be those who would say, well, I prayed about it once, so it's enough. Help us to be those like this persistent widow who never was willing to accept no for an answer, but was persistent, would continue to even hound this unjust judge. Help us, we pray, to pray with such persistence and diligence and to never lose heart. Have mercy upon us Lord, we pray that you would build up in us a persistence and diligence and a greater faith in our prayer life. Help us in these things so that we would be found as having faith upon this earth. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For our closing hymn, our hymn of dedication, let's turn to 151. The Lord of the Sabbath, hear us pray. We'll sing stanzas 1 through 4.